Once upon a time, I had a fucking crazy ex-boyfriend. Says every bitch ever, right? I know. Every bitch ever. But really, you guys, I did. I had a really super fucking crazy ex. It did not fucking end well. We are talking felonies. Not mine, his. Because, you know, this guy, I mean, he fucking stole my identity. He stole my motherfucking identity and racked up $30,000 in fucking credit card debt. We had a really rocky relationship. He's somebody that I've known like my entire fucking life. And like, arguably, okay, you guys, like, I knew better, right? Like, I knew better than to date this guy. Like, I've seen him fucking ransack bitches for fucking years. We kind of dated, loose terminology, hooked up a lot in high school. And so, you know, after my divorce, it was just kind of one of those things where, like, it was just not a good fucking spot. It was very much in a self-sabotage pattern where I was like, let's do all the things I possibly can to fuck up my life. And this guy was one of them. I mean, he really takes the cake. And you know what I fucking said in the beginning of all this shit, right? That radical responsibility. Like, I called this shit in to learn the lessons that I needed to learn. And I learned some motherfucking lessons, you guys, because this shit was fucking horrendous. Like, just a fucking tornado of 6 months. Like, sometimes I can't believe that it was only 6 months because it feels like, I mean, it was like more like 8-9 months, but it feels like it was like fucking forever. Because there was so much fucking drama in this time. And we had a big fucking thing about money because he was, you know, a narcissist. And let's be fair, we're all fucking narcissistic to a certain extent. I'm a narcissist. I score very highly on the narcissistic spectrum. And I made a choice at some point in my life, because I know this, I'm self-aware about it. Like, I know that I have this narcissistic tendency within me that can get away from me if I'm not fucking careful. Like, I know it's there. I'm not careful. Mindful. I hate that fucking word, careful. Mindful. So I'm mindful of the narcissistic tendency because I know that I can use it for good or not, right? I can use it to fuck shit up. Like, and that's a choice. Like, that's a choice I get to make. Well, he chooses the other way. He chooses to fuck shit up. That's what he uses his brilliance for. Very smart fucking guy. Really knows a lot of stuff. Very well read. Would be a brilliant online coach, actually. Except for the fact that he's a motherfucking monster. And doesn't give a fuck about other people at all. Like, he only cares about himself, and not even that most of the time. Really nasty shit. You know, we're talking about the physical abuse, the mental abuse, the financial abuse, all of the things. But it gave me this really fucking just warped view with money, because you guys, like I told you, like, I was making good money as a bartender. I was making 10, 12 grand a month. And he latched onto that shit. He latched onto that shit. And I'm a very generous person. Like, I just buy other people's shit. Like, you know, when I had that 12 grand a month, like, I certainly wasn't doing a lot of good with it. I mean, I bought a house when I was 24. So like, I have that financial security of like owning a house, and like, I'm pretty smart with my money. Like, I don't do fucking reckless and stupid shit. Like, I'm not that person, right? I don't have a gambling habit, none of that shit. And so I've always been really responsible with my money because, hello, I have motherfucking kids and I got to take care of the kids. Like, I don't fuck around with that. And I like to have the things that I like to have. I like to have bills on auto pay. So I always make enough money to cover my shit and I don't really worry about it. And I don't have a bunch of credit card debt or any of that crap, right? So he sees an opportunity. And full transparency here, guys. You know, my son's father died when we were 24. He died of a heroin overdose. We were not together. I had kicked him out about a year prior. And so he was like barely seeing our son because he just couldn't get his shit together. And, you know, you can't speak ill of the dead in some ways, but I mean, I will anyway. You know, he was selfish. You know, he was selfish. He couldn't pull it out. He put his drug habit before all of us, and it was selfish and hard. But he was also like one of the best people on the face of the planet in some lights, right? Like, he had the best laugh and the best fucking smile. And I was extremely in love with him, like head over motherfucking heels. You know, I love you on the first night, him saying that to me, because I'm sure he was just trying to get shit out of me, as boys do. But it was a very like whirlwind relationship. And I was fucking 18. Okay. I was like completely in love with this dude. You know, I got pregnant when I was 19. I was on birth control and got pregnant. And, you know, I peed on a stick and my whole life changed and all that shit happened. And I had to, like, stop playing the cocaine game and stop, you know, pretending to be a drug dealer and all the fucking stupid shit we did when we were in our teen years. And so I stopped and he didn't, right? And so eventually, I mean, he stopped for a little while, but not long enough. He went back to it and I had to kick him out. I had to move out. And it was really, really fucking hard. But I had to, because he would ransack my bank account. Like, I would go to work and I would make, you know, $100 or $200 bartending. And I would go and deposit it in the bank because I didn't want him to be able to get the cash, right, to go buy drugs or booze or whatever. And so I would go to bed and I would wake up in the morning and all of the money would be gone out of the bank account. Like, I mean, there was one very specific time where he, you know, like I had had everything, and my rent was due the next day and I had the $1,000 that I needed for rent in my account. And I woke up in the morning and it was all gone. And not because he like went and did something cool with it. Like, this motherfucker went to the bar and bought shots for other people, like bought rounds of shots with my debit card. And I was fucking so fucking pissed. And I kicked him out. I said, no more. I can't live like this. I can't stress out that I can't keep a roof over my fucking child's head. Like, I can't have this. And so I kicked him out and it was pretty brutal. And I felt really bad and I had a really hard time kicking him out, but we had to break up and I was very much still in love with him, but I couldn't do that. I had to choose my kid. Even at that age, I mean, I think I was 22 at the time, but like I had to, I didn't have a fucking choice. Like, my kid came first. Sorry. And I was broken. I was devastated. My heart hurt so bad to fucking leave him, but I had to. And it took a long time for me to pick up the pieces from that. And then, you know, about a year later, like, I get the call from, you know, the coroner on a fucking Tuesday, and they're like, you know, he died. And like, he died in his shithole apartment. You know, theoretically by himself, probably not by himself. He's probably with that fucking hoe train heroin whore of his. you know, was probably with him, and she probably just left him and let him die. I'm sure that that's what happened. But he OD'd, died with the needle in his arm, and you know, it was brutal. It was really fucking hard. And I ended up moving back home, like not in with my parents, but back to the city that my parents lived in and where I live now. And I moved back. And you know, my whole life fucking changed from that point. But it was like, I left him over money, you know, and then this guy that I'm talking about that stole my identity and everything, he was his best friend. And, you know, we had kind of dated first in high school, and, you know, dated is a loose term, but we were hooking up in high school, and then I met his best friend that I just hadn't met before for whatever fucking reason, lived in a different city. And I was head over heels, fell in love, and, you know, I was like, okay, like, we're not going to sleep together anymore because I'm going to go be with this guy. I warned you guys, I'm a whore, right? But, you know, after that, it was like, he could use that. He could use that piece of like his dead best friend, my son's father. Like, that was such an easy manipulation tool for him. And it worked really well because I felt this trauma bond. I had this trauma bond with him that was so intrinsically deep and so ingrained, and he could push those buttons because he was smart. He's a smart cookie. I mean, he didn't use it for good, but it wasn't because he was stupid. It's not, he wasn't stupid. He was smart and terrible. Narcissist. But you know, he got in with me, he got into my head and under my skin, and I thought I was in love with him because he was pretending, he was being everything that I wanted him to be. Like, he played the role so fucking well, and in hindsight, like, of course I can fucking see it, but at the time I just couldn't. You know, it's drinking all the time, doing a lot of fucking, you know, drugs and shit that I shouldn't be doing, and partying and doing all the fucking trash stuff that I did where I was in self-sabotage patterns. And you know, I just couldn't see it. I couldn't see it at all. And so we had this weird thing about money where we would have this fight because he didn't have money, right? Like, there was nothing. He had nothing. He didn't have anything to his name, like nothing. You know, so it was like, he would manipulate me out of money and like do these like weird psychological things to me where it was like, he would tell me, he's like, I need $500 for whatever. And I would be like, fuck you. You know, like, I'm not giving you fucking money again because you never fucking pay me back. Like, I'm not fucking doing it. And he'd be like, you're really going to let $500 come in between us? Like, you know, I'm fucking good with forward and I'm going to pay you back. And every red cent, that was his thing that he always said. He was like, you know, every fucking red cent, like, I'm going to pay back every red cent. It's like ingrained in my fucking brain, but it's a conditioning statement. And like, I know that now, right? It's like, I know that now because in like the online coaching world, like, I learn about all of these mindset things that you can do for positive persuasion, but they work on the other side too, right? They work on the other side too. And he was using those tactics to manipulate me. And, you know, and to a certain extent, like, I wanted to be manipulated, right? Radical responsibility. That's why I fucking called him in to learn this shit, because he really taught me a lot about persuasion. He taught me a lot about fucking sales because he was a very good fucking salesman, and credit where credit is due. I'm all about that. But he, you know, he would do this thing with the money and manipulate it out of me and make me feel guilty, like I was a bad person for not wanting to give it to him, and not in the conventional sense, but he would flip it around in my brain, like into this thing that I valued money, that I was like this money grubbing whore, like that, you know, all I cared about was money. And the truth is, I don't care about money at all. Like, money is just not my thing. Like, I'm not really into money. That whole, like, you know, shack up with the old dude for money, like, never crossed my mind. Like, I don't care about fucking purses and shoes and shit. Like, that's just not my fucking currency. You know, I care about really great dick. I could never do the sugar baby thing. It's just not for me. But he pushed a trigger button in me that did that. I was like, oh, you only care about money. And I was like, he would tell me that story, and it was, and I would so adamantly defend it. Like, it's not that, I'm not, it's not about the money. And like, and you'd be like, well, if it's not about the money, then give it to me. And I was like, fuck. And I would, you know, and like looking back on it, it was so fucking smart. Like that sleazy sales technique, and like how he could get into my limiting beliefs and push my trigger buttons. You know, it's probably why I hate struggle posts so much, because it's that same style of manipulation of preying on people's weaknesses, and really exploiting them. And so he would do the thing and get cash out of me. And of course he would go gamble it. And like this one time at band camp, we were up at this casino in Tahoe, and like, you know, we had the fucking VIP suite because he was in the Players Club, and we had this like, you know, beautiful fucking thing. And like, he painted it to be this like weekend getaway where we were going to go live like fucking kings and queens and eat at the fancy restaurants and do all the things. And he went downstairs and gambled, and he, you know, was like obviously gambling my money because he didn't have any money. So he was gambling my money and thousands of dollars, and he hit a fucking royal. And he won 40 grand. Okay. He won $40,000. And at the time, like, man, I had never seen fucking $40,000 stacked up like that. And it was like, and then like, you know, the confetti falls out of the sky and the fucking casino host is over there just like sucking your dick and doing all the things. Right. And I mean, it was crazy to watch this thing happen. You know, and I thought in that moment that he was going to do the right thing. Like, I thought he was going to give me that money that he owed me, right? Like the money that like pay me back the 10 grand that I had sunk into him. And what did he do, you guys? What did he do? He put all of it back. Like in that weekend, he put all 40 grand back in the fucking machine and lost it all. And I was dumbfounded. I was so fucking mad. I mean, we got in this huge fucking fight, like, you know, things were broken, blood was shed, things were broken, huge fucking fight. Like, I mean, he, you know, punched me in the face, locked me in the fucking room. Like, I mean, like there was a lot of motherfucking drama, and he left me in Tahoe without my phone. I didn't have a phone or my wallet, nothing. He took the car and fucking left. And we'd already checked out of the hotel. So I was just at a gas station with nothing. Like, it was fucking terrible. I ended up hitchhiking. Can you believe this? Fucking hitchhiking back to like, it was like an hour and a half back to my house, right? Like hitchhiking to fucking get back. So I finally make it back. all this stuff, he's surprised that I get back, right? And like, you know, so then another fight ensues and all these things happen, whatever. And this ended up being like one of those catalytic things that, you know, pushed the breakup again, you know, because at this point we were breaking up and getting back together. And when we broke up really good one time, but then my best friend died in a car accident. And when he died, like I fell apart, and like he came back and picked up all the pieces, right? And like did the thing that like narcissists do, and like made the whole world right again. And so I had gotten back together with him after that. And so this ensued another breakup point, because he was very difficult to get away from, because why would he want to leave me? I was his narcissistic supply. I made him feel the things, and I, you know, was his money. Like I gave him money and I set him up and he had my car and like all the things, and he could do whatever the fuck he wanted. So it created this kind of like terrible fucking relationship with money, where like it was compounded of money being abuse, right? Like there was this tie-in in my brain and my limiting belief structure. And I mean, I was in my 30s. So it's, you know, it was early 30s. This was not very long ago. You know, this was only a couple of years ago. So it's not like it was rooted like kid money stories are, but it like became this other thing that money had this feel to me that it's exploitation, it's abuse. So when I'm stepping into the online world and like online coaching world, like a lot of what we do is we look at our limiting beliefs. Like a lot of what I coach in my programs is that. And like, obviously I wouldn't be able to coach and I wouldn't be able to sell something. I can't sell results I don't fucking have, right? Like you can't fucking do that. You have to sell results you have so you can align with them. And so this was a money story that like I really got to sit with and look at for what it was, because man, it was a fucking monstrosity. And then on top of all of that, like after the fact, throughout the breakup, like I'll tell you this terrible fucking story. But I was in Mexico. I was in Mexico at a tequila distillery because I'd been flown out there by the brand to go do some work down there for them. So I went down to this distillery, of course, so he wasn't with me because it was a work trip, which of course pissed him off. But psycho jealous, of course. But so I was down there in Mexico and it's my first day there. And I get a call on my phone and it was this weird number. And I was like, what is this? And I was in the middle of like a workshop. So it was like kind of a pain in the ass. And like, so I didn't answer it, but then like it kept calling and I was like, what the fuck is wrong? And then I'm panicking about the kids and like all the things. Right. So I take the call and it is a detective. Like it is like a high level detective where I'm like, what the fuck? And they needed me to verify my passport and make sure that like I wasn't an accomplice for all this stuff. Like, I mean, it was like dealing, I mean, it wasn't the FBI, but it certainly felt like it, right? It felt like a movie, right? Where I was like, what? Like I had to verify my passport and like they had to talk to like other people that were involved. They had to talk to the people that had flown me down there and all of this stuff to verify that I was where I said I was and that I was actually in Mexico, and I had to verify all my travel plans and all of this stuff. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Well, it turns out that they had arrested him because, you guys, the dumbest motherfucking story ever. Remember how I told you he was a smart guy? There are limitations, right? There are things where we all lose our shit. He had lost his motherfucking shit. You know what this idiot was doing? Okay, first of all, he had my fucking car. Okay, so he had my car and he went to Walmart of all the motherfucking places. He went to Walmart. And it was during Christmas time, so it was like early December. And so there was like this, shop with the sheriff campaign for kids, like for kids, like underprivileged kids, where they got to like go shop with the sheriff and pick out like their Christmas toys and all this stuff. And the sheriff's department sponsored it and all this shit, right? So during the sheriff shop, like at the same time when the fucking Walmart is filled with sheriffs, this motherfucker goes into Walmart and loads up a cart with like all of these kind of like expensive weird things. Like it was like mini blinds and like things like that, like in the home improvement department, and loads up his cart with it and walks out to the car and fills the car up with, obviously without paying, right? Walks out, steals all this stuff. Okay, because what he's doing with this, which I find out later, is that he steals all this stuff from like stores like Walmart that have a really loose return policy. And then he would go back in and fucking, you know, like switch it out for gift cards or like what, I don't even know. Like it wasn't really about the money or the stuff. It was like the lasciviousness of it. He like just liked to get away with shit, right? So he had done one cart and he was back in again doing another cart when he got fucking popped for this shit. Right? Got fucking popped for it. And so he got arrested and the car was in the parking lot. But the car's not in his name. It's in my name because it's my fucking car. So the car's in the fucking parking lot and he is like, it gets left there. So I, like, my vehicle's there and they go through his car. Like, they got my permission on the phone from Mexico. I was like, go through it. Like, fucking handle that shit, you know? So, like, but they had to make sure that I wasn't, like, in cahoots with him. Is what they were doing. And they monitored all the calls and, like, made sure and, like, went back and checked my phone log and all this crazy shit. But they went through the car, and when they were in the car, they found 4 credit cards with my name on them that I had never, I didn't have credit cards. Like, I didn't have any credit cards, none. Like, I had my debit card in my account, right? Which was a little bit harder for him to access. He'd actually have to steal the card itself from me. But instead of doing that, he just came up with an alternative. He fucking opened credit cards in my fucking name. And so there were 4 of them, which he had racked up $30,000 worth of shit. And so, like, I got to look at the fucking statements, right? This motherfucker bought like $30,000 worth of fucking Jack in the Box. Like, I mean, it wasn't like nothing to show for it. I mean, obviously he was gambling, whatever. But also he'd been working, quote unquote, working for this woman who owned an agency that was like a videography agency where they filmed for like lawyers. At least that was my like vague understanding of the situation, because quite honestly, he just lied all the time. But like filming depositions for lawyers. So it's like, pretty prestigious. And let me fucking get into this a little bit, you guys. Like, this guy, this is not like, you would never suspect this shit. I mean, super good looking, like really clean cut, well put together, super articulate. People loved him, super charismatic. Like, he, you know, was that person. So it wasn't like he was like some fucking scrub, like where you would like know that he was doing this shit. Like, he was very poised, very put together, very well educated, very well read. Like, I mean, so well read. I mean, insanity, like just a very brilliant mind. So like, these are just not things that you would think, because quite honestly, if he'd used his brilliance for something good, like he could change the fucking world, right? Like, someone like that. But so he had this like prestigious job that he was very proud of and kind of touted. But there's a big chunk of equipment, like camera equipment, that would come with it. So come to find out, what he was doing was that he would take the camera equipment home on Fridays and he would take it to the pawn shop, get, you know, a couple grand for it, go gamble all weekend, and then go buy the equipment back on Monday. Well, you know, I mean, luck runs out, right? Like, luck runs out. Sometimes you get hit. So that's actually why he was at the Walmart, because he was trying to make enough money to buy the equipment back so that he wouldn't get found out from his job. But obviously that didn't work. So the time that he got arrested, all of the stuff was at the pawn shop. And so like all of these different things, like, you know, dominoed around. And like, by the time I got back to the States, you know, they had him locked up, all this stuff, and it was just a fucking mess. I had to go talk to the detective to claim my car back. I had to file all these reports. I had to go and sit and like with each credit card company and fill all this shit out. So it was like a lot of money stuff, like $30,000 worth of money stuff. I mean, I ended up having to get on the stand. Like, I mean, this is months later. He ended up being locked up for like, you know, 90 days or whatever the fuck it was, but I had to testify against him. And they actually didn't get him on any of the domestic stuff because he'd always talk the cops out of everything. Like, he was so good at talking to cops. It was unfucking real. He actually had a cop that would come into my bar and check on me, like during my shifts and shit, like would sit at my bar top and like just watch me. Like, it was fucking batshit. He put a tracker on my car. So like, he was tracking me for months. Like, even after he was locked up for like 90 days or whatever it was, not long enough, I'll tell you that much. And of course I had a restraining order, but he put a tracker on my car and would just fucking follow me. So it was, I mean, it was fucking batshit, just like crazy. And everyone thought I was nuts, right? Like, no one fucking believed me except for my best friend. So all of this gets tied up with like money, right? And in my money story of what I think I'm worth and like all this stuff about credit cards and debt and like things like that. And it's like, I had to sit with that, you guys. Like, I had to do the work around that. Like, I got to do the work around that to unlock that thing that money is abuse, because that was a story. And we all have money stories, like multiple layers of money stories that help you to like unlock that shit. But like, really, I had to sit with that one for a long, well, not a long time, like, but a lot of intensity, because, you know, change is never really about time. It's about intention. So it took a lot of intention for me to unwind that fucking ball of mess around the money, because I felt like it was abuse. And, you know, if I feel like money is abuse, then I can't make it, right? Unless, of course, I want to abuse myself. So unlocking that piece of my brain changed so much for me, and it changed so fast. Once I sat down and I did that work around that money story, it was like, boom, I started to be able to sell. Boom, I could attract better clients. And like, I could charge more, and I could sell at a higher rate at what I'm actually fucking worth and be proud of it, because I didn't view money as abuse anymore. I repatterned that part of my brain. I changed it. And it was so incredibly empowering, because not only did it like help with the money thing so that I could step into these powerhouse money months, but it also helped me to release so much of the trauma that was associated with this relationship. And, you know, there's still some in there, and I'm working through it, but it's like, I get, there's all these different doors that I get to take now. And it's opportunity, because now I know that these challenges are really opportunities, and every single challenge in your life is in fact an opportunity for you to shift. So look at those things in your life. Look at your money stories. Where do they come from? What kind of, I mean, I hope that it's not fucked up as mine, but I mean, there's always something. There's always some sort of feeling associated with money. And money, it's just energy. That's what it is. Money is the, you know, kind of physical representation of energy. And when you start creating reciprocal energy patterns in your life, it's going to move those money stories around, and it's going to unlock your potential so that you can make more money. Because the truth is, you guys, all the motherfucking strategy in the world will not fucking save you from a money story that's holding you back. You will not be able to earn. You will not be able to sell at your full potential when you have these blocks. So there's a lot that fucking goes into it. There's a lot of cool stuff that you can unleash that potential. And it doesn't just come from like strategy. It comes from this mindset and being able to look at where you are in your mind and really see it with clarity so that you can step into your full potential. And how cool is that, right? And so now I get to rewrite these money stories. And now I'm making this money, and people ask me, it's like, well, Nicole, what are you doing with the money? It's like, well, I'm investing it. Like, I just got my offer accepted yesterday. I bought a bunch of lots out in kind of like a rural area where we're like, I'm going to, my fiance and I, we're going to develop them. He's an engineer. So we're going to be developing them into these green, like, you know, eco-friendly, energy efficient, affordable housing projects. And so I make the money, and then I spend the money, right? Because you can't just sit on it and fucking hoard it like a motherfucking dragon on a treasure pile, like Scrooge McDuck. You can't fucking do that shit. It's reciprocal energy. You got to spend it. And I'm a firm fucking believer that money in the hands of good people fucking changes the world. So when you, as a good person, go out there and make money, it's not taking money away from somebody else. It's actually reciprocating, right? Because none of us really own money. It's just your fucking turn to spend it. And when you start to have that mentality, you realize that you're just earning. You're earning it and spending it, earning it and spending it. And it's just your turn to hold it. And in the online coaching world, that's really what it comes down to, is that so many of us are buying these programs from each other, right? It's like it's like being a bartender all over again, where it's like you go to your buddy's bar and you sit down after your shift, and you have your after shifter, and you fucking tip him $20. And then tomorrow he comes in and does the same thing, and he tips you $20. Like, that reciprocal energy flow. It's like, those are really great tips, but it's like, it's always reciprocated. And I guess I learned that in the service industry. And so it overlaps into this coaching industry, is that, you know, money, we don't own it. It's just our turn to fucking spend it. So you earn it and then spend it. And when you do that, you recreate these reciprocal energy patterns that allow you to unlock this potential so that you can do really great things with your money and not just, you know, gamble it away and use it as control patterns to fuck up your girlfriend. So you guys, a big part of this whole unicorn story is locked up and really fucking focused around money, because money fucking matters, because money is energy, and energy is motherfucking everything.
Take off your pants. Unleash your true self. Real unicorns don't wear pants.
For
For more trouble, go to realunicornsdontwearpants.com, hit that subscribe button, and remember, #fuckpants.